Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. What an amazing book. What a blessing it was to study it. And Lord, I pray, dear God, we're going to cover some pretty important things, dear Lord, tonight. I ask, Lord, that you'd help us as we begin to gain more and more a sense, dear God, a good oversight, overview of the Bible. And Lord, help us tonight, Lord, as we study the book of Deuteronomy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All righty, 512, 5512. Five books of the law, 12 books of history, five books of poetry, five major prophets, 12 minor prophets. Genesis, the book of beginnings. Exodus, the word Exodus means departure, the book of the departure or the leaving of Egypt. Leviticus, a book of instructions to the Levites. Numbers, the book of the numbering and ordering of God's people. And now we here are at Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, 34 chapters. 959 verses, 28,355 words, 33 questions. I like the questions of the Bible. 690 verses of history, 230 verses of fulfilled prophecy, 37 verses of unfulfilled prophecy. But I guarantee you one of these days they will be fulfilled. 519 commands and 47 promises, the book of Deuteronomy. The key verse is the verse that we read. Verse number 26 we'll take as our verse of the week as far as memorization. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And then to explain that, we have verse 27 and 28. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. This is what God does to every single individual, every single human being that's ever been born. He puts before you the opportunity for a blessing or the opportunity to live your life under a curse. He doesn't make you choose which one. He tells you exactly what you need to do in order to obtain the blessing. He tells you exactly what you and warns you about what you ought to avoid to prevent living under the curse of God. But he has also created us with a free will. And so he set before them a blessing and a curse. We'll talk more about that when we get into the theme of the book. And so the key verse, verse 26, let's memorize that this week. The author, of course, is Moses. This is the last book of the Pentateuch. And so this is the last book that God used Moses to pen. Deuteronomy. What does that word mean, preacher? Deuteronomy. Well, we see D-E-U as in duet or duo, and we think of the word two or second. It literally is translated the second law or the second recounting of the law. Second law is a little bit misleading because it's not like it is a new law. It is just a repeating of the law that's already been given. Very interesting. I'm going to have you just for a second put your finger or a marker there and go back in forward into the New Testament to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. And one of the things that you'll see in the Bible and one of the principles that you want to learn as far as teaching, and if you have a desire to learn, this will help you learn and it'll help you to be able to teach others. And that's this thought. Watch this. Deuteronomy is the recounting or the repeating of the law. You say, preacher, but God already gave it. I know, and he's going to give it a second time. We'll see this when we get to 1st and 2nd Chronicles. 1st and 2nd Chronicles is a repeating, for the most part, of 1st and 2nd Kings. God never repeats himself by accident. If God's repeating himself, he's doing it for a reason. He does it for emphasis, but also, watch this, he's the one that created us, and he's the one that knows us. Anybody ever heard the phrase, repetition is the key to learning. You know why you know that phrase? Because you heard it repeated more than once. If you'd only heard that once in your life, you wouldn't have had a clue what I was talking about. But because that's been repeated several times, you knew what to expect next. And folks, repetition is the key to learning. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now watch this. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And you know what the Apostle Paul did? He said, I will not apologize in this matter of repeating myself. I heard a young person that had gotten off in the world and gotten away from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This was his complaint. Well, my mom and dad wanted me to keep coming to church, but it's just the same thing over and over. Hello. There's no new thing under the sun. There's not another Bible. Okay? I mean, you know, we don't preach out of this book for a while and then Harry Potter, just so you're entertained. All right? It's the Bible. And you know what it is? It's the Bible over and it's the Bible over and it's the Bible. Now, let me tell you when it becomes grievous. It's never grievous to hear any part of the Bible repeated that you are obeying. That's not grievous, that's encouraging. Let me tell you what that young man was saying. I'm tired of hearing what I don't want to hear, and I'm tired of being reminded about what I don't want to do. Okay, now you know what Paul said? He said, to me, to write the same things unto you is not grievous. And you know what? It's never bothered me to repeat certain things over and over and over again. There's some things that we repeat on a regular basis. There's some things we teach on a regular basis. If you've been here for the last 10 years, I've been pastor, 5 times in 10 years, you went through the same soul winning course. You know what? Probably should have gone 10 times, but we did it 5. We do it every other year. There's certain things. The series that I do on finances, I've probably done 4 or 5 times. Folks, listen, you know how we learn things? They're repeated. Parents, take this. Listen, don't be grieved by the idea that you have to use repetition with your children. I mean that. Don't be grieved about it. Don't get frustrated about it. Folks, it's how they're going to learn. Well, I've already told them that, yes, and I'm sure that they heard words. Some noise. Okay? And they probably looked right at you and went like this. And you know what? The whole concept of what you were saying, for the most part, the first time you tell somebody went, and the second time it goes, and the third time, you know, depending on which way their head's turned, it's a miss again. But you know what? About 5th, 6th, 7th time. You know what's fun in young people working with teenagers is watching the difference between how a 7th grader hears you and how an 11th grader hears you. I had a young man, and by the way, the young people did such a kind thing for me and my wife last Friday. They shocked me. They surprised me. But they had prepared downstairs a meal for me and my wife. And I mean, when lunchtime came, they sent for us, and we went downstairs, and they had the entire room decorated. I mean, the whole room was decorated like we were outside at a picnic. No, there were clouds hanging from the ceiling. There was the sun, you know, revolving. If you don't make it, you never see it this time of year. So there it was. And we had a great meal together, but they wrote me kind notes and encouraging notes, and they put them in a basket. I got a basket with just notes. My wife got a basket with notes and gifts and all kinds of neat things. I just got notes, but that's okay. That's right, because I have Girl Scout cookies is what I have. One of my granddaughters is in Girl Scouts. She handed me a paper and a pen, and I just started writing numbers. Later on, I was informed that I ordered $80 in Girl Scout cookies. That's what we've been having for supper every night for 2 weeks, Girl Scout cookies. I mean, I've got them in my, I'm hammering them in my office, man. I'm so hyped on sugar and caffeine. I'm just like, yeah, I've got more work done. It's great, man. Where was I? Oh, I just got notes. But one of the things one of the young men said that was a junior this year said to me, I think it was maybe a sophomore, he wrote, and I won't tell you exactly what he said, but he said, you know, for years you did this. This year, for the first time, I understood why. And young people, listen, one of the reasons that's happening, it's no slam on you. And we've got seventh graders that are ahead of the curve. We've got eighth graders that are ahead of the curve. But you know what? The more you hear something and the more it's taught and the more it's repeated, the more mature you are, all of a sudden the more seriously you're taking it. And the closer to real life you get, all of a sudden you think, you know what, I better start paying attention to this. I've got to actually try to make this thing called life work here in a couple of years. I watch this transformation where kids all of a sudden, they're not just listening to you, they're really hearing you. And they're not just, but you know what, can I also say what some of it is? Some of it is just repetition. Some of it is it's just been said enough time that it gets in. Say, preacher, I mean, you know, some of you have been Sunday school teachers here for 20 years. You know what, we've been taking the same lessons and we go through about 5 or 6 years and we repeat them. Then we go through 5 or 6 years and we repeat them. We go through 5 or 6 years, yeah, that's what we're going to, that's the plan. Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan. There's just, listen, repetition's the key to learning. By the way, check out any curriculum that's written that works. You know what it does? It introduces the subjects, the 5 core major subjects. And in first grade, it gives it at first grade level. In second grade, it also gives first grade level and increases it a little bit. In third grade, it gives first and second grade level and increases it a little bit. And you know what? Every year repeats all the way back to the beginning and builds on what's, and that's all it is, folks. Listen, I'm telling you, that's all it is. That means if a first grader would just get a hold of the 12th grade curriculum and get it, they could be done in 1 year. I don't know what the problem is. But you know what? That repetition is what causes you to begin to, you know, preacher, I don't know if I got that. I know. Come back next year. We'll take another swing at it. Come back the next year. And you know what? At some point, some of these, I get that now. It's repetition. Now, I spent too much time on that, but I thought it was such an important concept. Listen, it's not grievous unto me, and it shouldn't be grievous to any teacher or any parent. The idea of repeating yourself is part of the learning process. Watch what it is. It's safe for you. And young people, well, I tell you, mom and dad says the same thing over and over. I know that's safe for you. That is so safe for you. And so the importance of repetition, and that's illustrated in Deuteronomy, the second recounting of the law. Now quickly, the theme. The theme of this book we read. The theme is found in chapter number 11. The theme is this idea of setting before you a blessing and a curse. In the recounting of the law, and by the way, this is not given in the first stating of the law. This little section, verse 26, 27, and 28, is given in the last. You know what Moses did? He brought the law down and he recounted it once for them. He comes back and he recounts it a second time. And in the middle of the recounting of it, he says this, listen to me. You know what I'm doing by giving you the law a second time? I'm setting before you a blessing and a curse. A blessing and a curse. And he said, you know what? If you'll obey it, then you're going to receive blessings. Why? God promised it and God keeps his promises. If you disobey it, then you're going to live under a curse. By the way, same reason. Why? Because God promised it. And he's bound to his word. Whatever God says, what God promises, he has to do. Let God be true and every man a liar. I may make you a promise and mean with all of my heart to keep it and blow it and forget and break a promise. But God's never made a promise he hasn't kept. And if God sets the rules and says, this is what you do, and you'll be blessed, and you do those things, watch this, you can hold him to his word. Amen. Doesn't mean that an obedient Christian never faces a heartache. It never means that they never face a challenge. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have to be tested and tried. Listen, folks, it's those things that make us strong in the Lord. Those are necessary to every Christian. But you know what? If you'll look at the scope of your life and the direction of your life and the overall testimony of your life, if you are a Christian who strives to learn the commands of the Lord and strives daily to obey them, you're going to look back at your life and say, you know what? God's kept his promises, and I'm going to tell you something. I've lived a blessed life. And so that's the whole concept here, this idea of a blessing or a curse. And so we have the theme here, blessed or cursed, the outline of the book, since this is the last book Moses will write, God gives through him to Israel reminders and exhortations and warnings. Israel is about to enter the promised land. Before they do, they need to hear again some important instructions. You know what he does in the first part of it? He reviews their recent history. Here's the outline. Number one, a recounting of the wilderness journey. Number two, a reminder of the law given at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. Number three, the promise of the blessings and warnings of curses, chapter 27 and 28. This idea that's introduced in chapter 11 is gone into detail in chapter 27 and 28. That's why it runs through the book as the theme. And then the last counsel of Moses to Joshua and Israel. So we have the recounting of the wilderness journey, first four chapters, reminder of the law given at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, 5 through 26. That's a long stretch, but you know what it is? Let me tell you again. Let me remind you again. Let's write it down twice in the Bible. Number three, promise of blessings and warnings of curses, chapter 27 and 28. And then fourth, the last counsel of Moses to Joshua and Israel, 29 through 34. And of course, the book ends with the death of Moses. And so, blessed or cursed? Let's review your recent history. When you did right, were you blessed? When you did wrong, were you cursed? All right, that's going to hold over here in the promised land too. God's not going to change. All right, let's review the laws of God. Notice how promises are attached to obedience, promises of judgments attached to. God's not going to change his character because you're crossing over Jordan. What this is I'm giving you a formula for success so that when you cross Jordan and go in the promised land, you can keep getting the blessings of God. A challenge to those entering the promised land. Okay, if in your recent history, God was consistent and he's given you promises and commands and he's consistent, when you go over into this new land, let me tell you something. If you'll obey the Lord, you will be blessed. If you disobey the Lord, I promise you, judgment's coming into your life. And so that's the reminder. Boy, what a good thing. You know, folks, listen to me. I think just as a practical thing, there's a reason. I'm not saying every parent ought to have a handbook, but let me say this. Every parent ought to be consistent. Okay? You know why we issue a handbook in the school? Because everybody knows the rules. Everybody knows the punishments that's attracted to the rules. We set before you a blessing and a curse. You know what? If you obey the rules, not only will you feel better about yourself and not only will you be blessed to the Lord, but we build incentives into it to see that you're rewarded properly. And you know what? If you don't, then I promise you, just as consistent as we are with the blessings, we're going to be consistent with the enforcement and the punishments. And by the way, parents, I'm teaching you this for a reason. Let me tell you, the worst situation in the world for a kid is to always have the rules changing. Okay, this week they do this and the parents laugh at it. They do the same thing 4 days later and parents blow up over it. Listen, you know what you ought to do? You ought to be consistent in your rules. You ought to, by the way, please listen to me. Those of you that are now getting kids up in your teenage years, let me tell you what ends up happening. You set all the right rules when they were in elementary. All of a sudden your kids get to be teenagers and all of a sudden, you know what? You start getting a little pressure and everybody else is doing it and blah, blah, blah. And not all the kids want to do right. And all of a sudden you start changing your rules. And you cause confusion in the heart of that young person. You know, well, they don't like it. Well, they'll get over it. You be consistent. You know, God didn't say, here's my law. Now, if little Johnny doesn't want to do it, then we'll negotiate. No, it's here's my law. If little Johnny obeys it, here's the blessings. If little Johnny disobeys it, here's what's going to happen. And I think that, you know what? Now, folks, you say, listen, what's that do for young people? It creates stability and security in their life. They know where the lines are. They know what to do to receive blessing. They know what if they do certain things, they know the consequences of it. And there's security. There's clear lines, clear boundaries. Okay? Rules aren't, listen, let's get off this thing that rules are a bad thing. Rules are not a bad thing. Rules are a great thing in the life of a young person and a great thing in the life of adults. Okay? And so clearly define the rules, clearly define the boundaries. Outside of these boundaries, you can expect bad things are going to happen. Inside these boundaries, you're going to find out that we have fun and it's blessing and it's good and it's enjoyable. But if you cross those boundaries, we're going to have problems. And most people then learned, and listen, what is that training them to do? It's training them for their entire Christian life. Hey, like it or not, like it or lump it, God wrote some boundaries down. Okay? And inside those boundaries, there's a lot of fun and enjoyment. And watch this, a lot of freedom. It really is. There's a lot of room to roam. I mean, there's good things. But you know what? There's lines. There's out of bounds. I mean, imagine trying to play a basketball game with no rules. Trying to play a football game with no rules. Trying to do anything. You know what it's going to turn into? Chaos. Yeah. And so let's stop. And young people, I'm trying to fix something right now. Right now you could turn a switch in your mind and get over this immature view of rules. Because that's what it is. You're showing the immaturity of your understanding. If you look at something, rules as something bad, you have a very immature view of rules. Rules are not bad. Rules are good. And rules are safe. Because they keep you within the boundaries of the blessing of God. And so that's the theme of the book, and it's exciting. All right, so there's the outline of the book. The main characters quickly is God. Amen. Here we go. And Moses. And the honest truth is, folks, that's about it in this book. It really is. God and Moses. Moses lived 120 years. One man said this. He spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was somebody, being raised in Pharaoh's courts. He spent the second 40 years of his life finding out he was a nobody on the backside of the desert. And then he spent the last 40 years of his life finding out what God could do with a nobody. That's a pretty good formula right there. And so that's his life, 120 years. He had a remarkable life. Well, I almost felt like I needed to stop and do a whole lesson on Moses, but let me just think about this. Think about this man. I mean, what a remarkable man. He was born in a time of turmoil and danger. He was born during a time where the Israelites were commanded that they should kill every male that was born. And yet God providentially spared him and saved his life in such an unusual way that Pharaoh's daughter adopts him and brings him into Pharaoh's household. He commits murder after being raised with the Egyptians. He commits murder and has to flee for his life. And then for 40 years, he spends working as a shepherd on the backside of the desert. You talk about a drastic change. First 40 years of your life, you're in Pharaoh's court. Next 40 years of your life, you're hiding as a fugitive, hiding for your life as a shepherd on the backside of the desert. Okay? Then the miraculous calling, the burning bush experience. He's sent to deliver Israel from Egypt. He has the confrontation with Pharaoh and the 10 plagues. Finally, he leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. He crosses the Red Sea, goes towards the promised land. On that trip, he's invited to the top of Mount Sinai to meet with God and handed tablets of stone that have the Ten Commandments written, the Bible says, with the finger of God. And then he's called back up into the mountain where he spends 40 days to get the rest of the law. And by the time he comes down, his countenance is shining. And then he comes down to the mess that Aaron had turned the whole thing into and the children of Israel. And this is his life. I mean, folks, if one of those things happened in any of our lives, it would be a story to be told. But there he is. He goes to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God. He endures rebellion at the Jordan River. They're talking about stoning him. God comes down, takes charge, turns the Israelites back into the wilderness. And by the way, there's three men over 20 years of age that didn't deserve to have to do that 40 years, but they did it. And so now he's got to oversee a bunch of backslidden, rebellious, murmuring, complaining Jews for 40 years who didn't want to do the will of God, but he stuck out here in the desert with them till the last one dies so he can bring back the next generation. And he gets mad and he smites the rock a second time. He forfeits the opportunity to enter Canaan land. And you know what? Moses wasn't perfect. Moses did wrong and it cost him. You know what? Here's the blessing. Here's the curse. By the way, Moses, you walk that law down. Don't think you're not going to be held to the same account. Here's the blessing. Here's the curse. And so, you know what? He blows it. Man, we're talking about the rock as a type of Christ. You know what? Jesus was smitten once, not twice. This had huge significance. God told him, smite the rock. And the second time he said, speak to the rock. Now listen to this, folks. Do you think at that point in time Moses understood that God was using the rock to represent Jesus Christ? You know how important it is for us just to do what God says the way he says it. Amen. Well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. Amen. You don't have to. Are you listening to me, kids? You don't have to understand. Get rid of this. Why? Why? Well, why? Well, why? Well, why? It's life. Every time, if your parents do not give a great enough and logical enough reason for what they're asking, that somehow that gives you an out. You know what he said? He said, smite the rock. The first time water came out, he said, speak to the rock. And you know what? He was a little aggravated. And by the way, read about the children of Israel. I mean, God would have killed me in the desert out there somewhere. I'd have never even got to see the promised land. I'd probably smote the rock 15 times if I had to pastor these people. I mean, this was not an easy group. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Wrong's still wrong. And that was a type of Christ. And I thought it was so sweet, though, because, you know, God wouldn't let him cross over. And we'll talk about his death in a minute. But, you know, when it was time for the children of Israel to cross over, he got to write one last song. And the Bible says him and Joshua performed it together. Read that chapter. It's a sweet thing. He wrote it. And then it says him and Joshua, the son of Nun, sang it together. I got thinking about that. And I thought about old Moses. And I thought, you know, maybe it was. You imagine, folks, 120-year-old man. Imagine him trying to sing. And look how long the song is. It's almost like I think he started to sing it. And kind of like, I'm going to embarrass her, but kind of like Brother John and Sister Amber. They got up to sing a special a while back, and Sister Amber got a little blessed during it and went to tears. And you know what John did? He just hiked his voice up and carried it for a while till the missus could get her composure. And I think about old Moses, and he's trying to sing that. And maybe his voice starts weakening, and old Joshua picks it up for him for a while. And he gets Moses encouraged, and Moses just reaches down and gets some more, and then he gets a little raspy in Joshua. It's just a sweet thing. And then God said this to him. He said, now, I want you to climb Mount Nebo, because from Mount Nebo, you're going to be able to look across the Jordan River, and you're going to see the promised land. And by the way, that's where you're going to die. And no man's going to bury you. God says, I'm going to take care of that. What an honor. I mean, you know what? Have you ever been a pallbearer at a funeral? Anybody in here ever been a pallbearer at a funeral? You know what? Listen, folks, that's an honor. I've always treated that as a huge honor. If I'm ever asked to do that to me, that's not a little thing. But you know what? You know who the pallbearer was? There was only one at Moses' funeral, and that was Almighty God. Amen. And you know who conducted the service? God did. You know who buried him? God did. And you know what? You know who knows where he's buried? Only God does. Wow, that's a pretty neat funeral. Wow, that's pretty cool. And so God loved this man and took care of him. But what an unusual man. Now let me give you in the last 2 or 3 minutes here, and I promise you I'll go fast here. Watch this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What's the theme, preacher? The theme is this. And boy, I'm gonna take this one great truth, and honestly, less than 5 minutes. I mean, even if it's like 4:59, I'm in the middle of a sentence, I'll just stop and start praying, all right? Somebody time me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Got it? Go. All right, here we go. That matter of a blessing and a curse. Young people, listen to me. Don't overthink the Christian life. It's not that complicated. Please listen to what I'm going to say. I beg you to listen to what I'm going to say. It's not that complicated. God is not a God that's a trickster. He doesn't sit there and say, I didn't tell you what I like and what I don't like. You're just going to have to find out the hard way. You do something I don't like, bolt of lightning. Boom! God wrote a whole book. And he said, these are the things that please me. These are the things that I'm commanding you to do as my children. By the way, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. I have every right to expect this. I redeemed you. I saved you from hell. I sent my son. He died for you. He died a horrible death for you. rose so you could have eternal life, not really asking too much for you to stay within these boundaries. So here's the boundaries. Stay in them, you get the blessings of God. Decide you're going to buck up against them, you're going to trample over the top of them, you're going to go your own way, curse of God. I'm God, I'm just. This is the promise I've made. I will keep my promises. You know what we do the rest of our Christian life, folks? Watch this. We study the Bible so that we know where the boundaries are. We study the Bible because if we truly love God, wouldn't we want to do those things that please Him? Why would we want to disappoint Him? I mean, all He's done for us. You know, so, are you in chapter 6? Look at verse 4. Let me give you quickly, and here it is. Three thoughts. Because of the promise of the blessing and the warning of the curse, we are to diligently teach our children the commands of God. Parents, this is for us, but young people, please listen. There's a purpose here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Not just in your head, young people, in your heart. You can know it all here, but until it gets down here, it's not going to change you. Okay? In your heart. Watch this. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Why? Why? Why in the world would parents go to that extreme, to that extent, to teach their children the commands of God? Because God has set before them a blessing and a curse. And folks, listen to me. If they do not know the commands of God, then they are what the book of Proverbs teach us as simple. But if you look at the end of the road of the simple man and the end of the road of the foolish man, they both fall into the same judgment. Can I say this? Ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. Okay? You can be driving somewhere and breaking a speed limit and get pulled over and look at the policeman and say, I didn't realize that the speed limit was that. And you know what he'll do? Write you a ticket anyway. Because you have access to the laws. There's signs on the road if you want to pay attention. And you know what? This book, God, again, has gone to great lengths to provide us a preserved, accurate copy of what he approves of and what he disapproves of. We are without excuse. Now, that means parents, that, you know what? If you want your children to live the blessed life, you better teach them the commandments. I preached a while back, a couple years ago, I had it out here on the sign, 25 reasons why Sunday school is more important than Monday through Friday school. I preached that on a Sunday morning. You know why? Because in this school, Sunday school is where you learn the commands of God. Okay? So parents, do you want your children to live a blessed life? Then you spend all, you go to extreme measures. Why should people put their kids in Christian education? Because, you know what? They're not just learning the commands of God and the principles of God's word on Sundays. It's integrated into everything in their curriculum. Okay, now, young people, stay with me. Watch this. Number two, because of the promise of the blessing and the warning of the curse, we are to diligently obey the commands of God. By the way, because of the promise, number three, of the blessing and the warning of the curse, we have no right to be bitter against God when judgment comes upon our lives and when we choose a path of disobedience. That's the part that's crazy to me. It makes me nuts. You know, kids being raised up. I mean, listen, all around, some of you have been surrounded by this from infancy. And you cannot claim ignorance. You know what the Bible says. You know what God has condemned. You know what God okays. And yet you're going to just purposely cross the lines into disobedience. And then when judgment comes, you're bitter against God because He was supposed to change the rules for you. He ain't changing the rules for you. He's not changing the rules for me. By the way, parents, if you are a parent that do not change the rules, you give your young people a good representation of God and what they can expect from Him. Consistency. Okay, that's why when, you know, little sissy throws a little tantrum, you don't give in. That's why when you got a boy that's going through a rebellious phase, you don't change anything, and you don't attack the rules, and you don't attack authority. You stay by the stuff. You stand true. Okay? Some of the young people in this room will remember this. I went down to the chapel, Blessed Hope Baptist School, years ago. Some of the adults in here were little kids. And I preached out of this subject. And I took two bells. I took a bell and put it here, and I took a bell and put it here. I took a big sign behind this bell, and it said, blessing. Behind this one, curse. Just to make sure they understood, I put a big candy bar in front of this bell and laid a paddle in front of that one. And then I used the repetition. I went over it about 20 times. What happens if you ring this bell? Blessing. Candy bar. What if you ring this bell? Curse. Spanking. I mean, I literally went over it probably 20 times. I said, is there anybody that's got any questions? Anybody? Okay, I'll start with you. Come up here. Choose a bell to ring. Say, what were you going to do? Well, if they chose that one, I was going to give them the candy bar. What if they chose the other one? I was going to light them up. Oh, yeah, you say you wouldn't have. Oh, yes, I would have. They had an opportunity to ask if there was any questions. I would have lit them up right in front of everybody. And the kids kind of, you know, even then they walked up and they're kind of like, they're scared, you know, they're looking. Let's see, curse, blessing, curse, paddle, candy, paddle, bell, bell, blessing, bell, curse. Ding a ding ding. And then they looked at me and I hand them the candy bar and they're like, wow. I don't know how to make it any simpler. I really don't. You're spending your life God with God. Listen, you want to spend your life God lighting you up? Then just keep ringing the wrong bell. But I like candy bars. And I know how to get them from my Heavenly Father. You know why? Because I've spent a life studying this. And I don't argue with God about the rules. I just say all I need to know is what the rules are. And if God says you do this, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it because I like candy bars. And you know what? If he says don't do something, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to get lit up by God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been good to us, Lord. Lord, you're not the author of confusion. The devil tries to blur the lines. Lord, you've gone to great lengths in your Bible to lay down the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. And Lord, yet we all struggle with this fallen nature, the sin nature. Just something in every single one of us that when we stand before the two bells, there's just something inside that tempts us to ring the wrong one. Lord, help us to identify that for what it is. Help us, Lord, to understand that God's made us new creatures in Jesus Christ. We've got a new nature. Lord, help us to delight in pleasing you, to want to show you how much we love you in appreciation for the great love you've shown to us. And Lord, as we go through the Bible, And a lot of our folks are doing it, and we're reading, dear God, some of the very books that we are now studying, we're in the middle of reading them. May all of a sudden we kind of pay a little extra attention. And if you say this is evil, then help us accept that, not argue with you. It doesn't matter what the culture says, doesn't matter what's politically correct. What you condemn, you will always condemn, and what you bless, you'll always bless. You change not. So Lord, may we, Lord, have a desire in our hearts to please you above anybody and anything. Lord, I want the blessings of God upon the young people. Lord, I want good blessings upon them. I want the blessings of God upon the young couples. I want the blessings of God upon the senior saints. Lord, we all want your blessing. May we be, Lord, an obedient people, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's